freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
It is March the 9th, 2017. My name is S.M. Gibson. This is Anti-Media Radio. So much going on in the world this week. Before we dive into any of it, I'm going to go ahead and bring on one of my co-hosts for the evening, Mr. Kevin Knight. Kevin, what is up?
What's up, fellas? Good to be back with you, too.
You've been doing all right? Been a while since we spoke.
It has, man. Life's been a little hectic at the moment, man. I hate to miss you guys, though, man. Miss the action, although there's been plenty of it to keep up with. But for sure, man, glad to be back.
For sure. We've got what's going on in the Middle East right now, which we've seen two children be killed in Yemen. For those who do not know, because the mainstream media will not tell you, drone strikes have been up 432% since Donald Trump took office. Yes, do I think that there's some things that Donald Trump is battling against the deep state that is probably good for this country? I do. Is there a lot things that Donald Trump is doing that I think is terrible for this country? Yes, I do. And that's one of them. The foreign policy in this country has not changed one bit. Actually, it has. It's changed 432% a bit. I'm not sure if you are aware, but the House of Representatives passed a military spending bill for $578 billion with a B dollars just yesterday, and is expected to be approved by the Senate, no questions asked, because these things never are. Now, in December, they passed a $611 military spending bill, emergency fund, and that was part one of it. This was part two of it, to cover 2017. Now, of course, those bills overlap a little bit, but we're talking 611 plus 578. You can't completely add them up, but we're talking more money than this country has. We're $20 trillion in debt. And this money is being spent on what? Because we can tell you all the stories you want to hear about civilians being killed. Barack Obama's drone strikes, 90% of them killed innocent civilians. And Trump's walking down that path as well. And this is where we're at in the United States of America. I want to go ahead and bring on the man himself, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon.
What's up? It's funny, when you were citing those numbers just a second ago, the first thing that popped into my head was, imagine, if you will, someone who is in debt up to their eyeballs. They're already like, you know, $200,000-$300,000 on their house. They haven't made a car payment. The car is fixing to be repossessed. They're completely so far in debt, there's no way they'll ever get out of it. and they go ahead and decide to borrow some money from their mom so they can take a trip to the Bahamas.
Plus interest.
You know, yeah, plus interest. Yeah, that's racking up as we speak.
You know,
yeah, all in the name of safety, all in the name of terror.
Do you feel better? Do you guys feel safer?
No. I feel a lot worse for the fact that I can pull up right now images of children that we just bombed while Donald Trump has been president. So that nothing has changed, except for the fact that we're now bombing at a much more alarming rate.
Well, the rhetoric was that he wasn't going to be policing the world, of course, and he was wanting to dial this back, and we're not even 100 days in. And in fairness, maybe he will, but what we've seen so far, he has not, and he has ramped it up 432%. And we've seen 9 children in the Yemen raid who the Justice Department and the State Department have both just glowing reviews of how much of a success that raid was, and guess what? It was not at all. They killed 9 children. We still don't know what terrorists were killed in that attack.
These were 9 children that were armed shooting at them, right? Let's go and get that clear. Yeah.
Right, of course. One was an 8-year-old American citizen. Over 30 people killed, women and children combined. This is what we're dealing with. This is what supposedly Donald Trump was elected to change. This is what supposedly Barack Obama was elected to change. And they have made it nothing but worse. That is because you've been lied to up and down, all around, from the corporate media, from the powers that be, and from the corporate interests. They're controlling the information that are shoved down your ears every single day. This is why we have the problems we have in this country. It's not even that the maniacal psychopaths running the world have their finger on the button. The problem is that the propaganda has spread so deep as people believe this garbage. We're still having conversations constantly about Russian involvement in our elections. Come on now. Come on. Wake up. There's no evidence of this, but we want to run down that rabbit hole because we don't like Donald Trump. Guess what? There's a lot of bad things to say about Donald Trump, and we're going to talk about him. But this whole Russian garbage is propaganda. Get over it. Grow up. Oh, let's have a women's march. Let's have another International Women's Day, Women's March. I'm all for everybody. Everybody's equal. But come on. Come on now.
Can we have a man march? I want to have a man march. Can we do that?
I want to have none of these marches because at this point we should all have equal rights in this country. And I tell you this much, the fact that you're having marches are more political than they have to do with actual rights, without doubt.
Well, you know, I think it's my right to have a man march. The girls get a march. I think the boys need to get a march, too. You just said equal rights. I want my equal rights.
Well, you go for it. I'm not going to join you on that because I'm
too. Why not? Right. You're a man. You got boy parts.
I don't care. I didn't care about the women's march, and I don't care about the man's march. I don't care
because
about
you're not because you're not a woman.
Yeah, I don't care either way.
That's exactly what they were marching about. It's the fact that you're not a woman.
Well, I don't care. I'm not going to march for either one because we should all be marching together. We should all be marching arm in arm to actually change something in this country instead of creating more of a political divide, which is all these things generate. They create all this divisiveness. They create all this, it's us against them, and you'll feel sorry for me. It's garbage, okay? Let's all grow up, march together, walk together, and change things together. Because until we do that, we're going to see the same repetitive behavior over and over and over. Oh, it's the Russians, it's this. No, it's not any of that. It's your own government. Did you not see the WikiLeaks, what they dropped 2 days ago? Because I tell you, it don't look too good. It really confirms all the things that the crazy people like me have been saying for years.
And bear in mind, it's the only that we've only seen in that last release with the Vault 7 release. We've only seen 1% of that document done. There's so much more coming that we don't even know about yet.
There's so much more, and that was 8,000 pages, and people laughed. Oh, I cannot tell you how many people have laughed at me because I have tape over the camera of my phone and tape over the camera of my computer, and people laugh at that. Well, guess what?
Joke's on you, huh?
That's it, because that's the world we're living in. And I've even said to people, if you've got a certain model of TV, it can spy on you too. Well, you're a complete lunatic, Emma, because guess what we found out? Michael Hastings, guess what we found out? Now, there's still, and here's the problem with the world we live in, especially with the Michael Hastings situations. Until they have the who, what, when, where, and why, they're never, ever going to believe that Michael Hastings was assassinated by the U.S. government. I didn't need WikiLeaks to tell me that because I live in reality. But now we have it confirmed that they use automobiles and they can assassinate people with them if they can hack them, which a lot of these new vehicles, they can. That's crazy conspiracy to people. Well, it's just been proven. And I'll go ahead and throw this out there. No doubt, no question. Put on the tinfoil hat. Andrew Breitbart was murdered too. Oh, that's crazy. Come on now. Everybody out there that's laughing and scoffing has still never seen a plane at the Pentagon. Except for that picture that Shannon sent me, which was very well done Photoshop, by the way.
That wasn't Photoshop. That was a real picture. Didn't you see it?
It was odd looking, if that was real.
Well, I mean, the government told us exactly what happened, and I don't know why we need to keep questioning it. You're insinuating that our government lies to us on a regular basis, and that's just crazy talk.
No.
Crazy talk.
Lie to us on a regular basis? When have they told us the truth about anything? Speaking of the truth, has anybody paid any attention to this healthcare bill that they're trying to pass through? This, we're going to get rid of Obamacare? This Ryan Care? This Paul Ryan Care?
You mean Romney Care 2.0? Yeah,
give me a break. What a joke. Are we really doing this? Is this really something you're trying to pretend is something different? As much as I can't stand Obamacare, I think this may be worse. This is a joke.
Now, I will say this in all fairness. They did get rid of the most important thing that I think that they should have in the Obamacare, the sticking point with a lot of folks, the tax penalty if you choose not to have health insurance.
No, but they really – I'm sorry, Shannon, go ahead.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, well, you know, they really didn't. They basically gave a gift to the insurance companies, which was, you know, to a large degree, they had a lot of hand in writing Obamacare as well, the first version. So no surprise now that if you don't have insurance or if you have gaps between coverage, you're going to be required to pay a 30% surcharge for that time that you lacked insurance. So basically, you know, Mr. Trump, the so-called Republican conservatives, decided to basically hand the gift from the IRS straight to the insurance companies. So, yeah, it's another big crock of bull, and we're going to get it shoved down our throats just as we did Obamacare.
At the same time, though, you can still opt out and choose not to have health care altogether, and you avoid that penalty. The way that Obamacare was set up, well, it didn't matter because you were going to get stuck on your taxes, which everybody has to file their taxes, right?
I'm going to go out. No, well, they don't have to. But I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say this health care bill does not pass, at least as is. There's going to have to be a lot of changes made to it. This health care bill will not go through. It's not going to happen. We all know me and my it ain't going to happen. I've got a pretty good track record on that on this show. This health care bill, as is, will not pass.
No. I agree. I agree. And again, the Obamacare didn't pass it at you know when it was first put forth. In fact, it took quite a bit of political wrangling and maneuvering and pork and so on and so forth to finally get quote unquote Obamacare passed. And at the middle of this, we have the insurance companies throwing all of their lobbyist dollars and trying to collect whatever favors they paid out on already. So that's definitely going to hinder the process and cause a lot of a foot drag.
Well, this is a huge, I think, political black eye to Paul Ryan. Now, he certainly had resistance before Trump, because I think there's so many people in this country that view Trump as this outsider. And I still, you know, I've said it over and over, I don't know what Trump is. I don't trust Trump, and I'm willing and ready to point out all the negative things Trump has done and will do, as we've already talked about with the drone strikes in this country. As far as being in bed with certain corporations, the healthcare industry doesn't appear to be one he has so far completely covered up the sheets over his head with. The oil industry is a completely different topic, and we can talk about that if you want, but he definitely doesn't appear to be completely in bed with the healthcare industry, and they run a lot of stuff. Paul Ryan, on the other hand, is the shill of all shills, and what political clout he had from stopping the, and we're just talking with the people here. We're not talking legitimate, whatever you are, whatever. Whatever clout he had, he's lost in the past 2-3 days. Rand Paul had a ton to do with that. You have Congressman Thomas Massie coming out and saying that this is a stinking pile of garbage. It's not going to pass. There's too much resistance on both sides. It's never going to happen. Paul Ryan looks like a fool again. But look, once a fool, always a fool, I guess.
Well, and you know, Paul Ryan looking like a fool isn't the worst thing in the world. So, you know, hey, there's silver linings everywhere. You just got to look hard enough, particularly in this administration.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that one.
Well, this seems like exactly more of the same. Things are changing, but they're changing in the exact same direction that they've always been spinning. I'm sorry, but you know, the first 100 days, I'm just not impressed. I've yet to see too much come out of the White House and Washington to really, really get me excited about, okay, well, maybe this whole Trump thing's going to work out, you know?
I will say this, and I don't think at all the opposite, actually, of this whole Trump thing's going to work out. I don't believe that. But I have to say that Donald Trump has been living up to the things that he said he was going to do, no matter how bad they were. He's definitely drawn a line and he's lived up to it, even with the many, 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 many things that I disagree with that he promised he was going to do. You can't say that about many politicians. Again, and the one holdout I have with Trump, and the one positive thing I think we're going to get out of this, hopefully we get out of it, is he was tweeting about these child sex offenders and these pedophiles and all this stuff. I think he can go after that, and I think that's the one shining light we may get out of him, and that's why I can't completely just go, this is the worst presidency ever, because do you understand how vile, how vicious, how terrible of a crime that is, that there's people committing day in and day out in this country? Now, with that being said, I want to go ahead and throw this out there. The FBI just dropped charges in a child pornography case so they could protect how they gained the information in that case. a guy that was clearly guilty, that they had all the evidence in the world for, they let him go because they didn't want to tell people how they found out what he was doing. That's the country we live in. That's disgusting. Disgusting. And that's the system. Look, we, way before Donald Trump was president, we were talking about it on this show. Before he was thought of as being president, we were talking about it on this show, that this is a systematic problem in this country. It is from top to bottom. It is greedy, vile, vicious people. And we're still seeing it. We're still seeing it. And I don't know how anybody can support it. I think Trump's presidency so far has exacerbated it. I also think it has widened the dividing lines in this country, but maybe they needed to be divided. I don't know. I think, you know, how many times have I said that Trump is the Molotov cocktail of presidents or presidential candidates, I guess? Good. Let's burn it down. Let's expose what's going on here. And as far as the anti-war left that disappeared for 8 years, I'm just utterly beside myself that they're not standing up and talking about these drone strikes. They're not talking about the fact that we now have ground troops, which we already did, but they're ramping it up in Yemen and in Syria and in Iraq and Afghanistan. Those are the four big ones. That the anti-war left is not just drilling him over this, but they're not, because they're too worried about their paint caps and their women's days to care about anything real. And that's what's so disgusting, is it's our culture. They bought in all this garbage. And they don't.
Well, and to be fair, you know, you're kind of picking on the liberals there, but to be fair, you have a bunch of starry-eyed conservatives right now that think that every single thing that Trump is doing and saying is absolutely golden and is going to fix all of our problems. And I'm here to tell you that there has been no change, none whatsoever. More of the same. In fact, way more of the same in some areas. So, you know, there's a lot of disillusion to spread around.
But what do you think about, to either one of y'all, Shannon or Kevin, how long did the left rail against George W. Bush? And now
eight years last time I checked.
It was longer than that. They railed against him when Obama was in office. They blamed everything that happened wrong under Obama's presidency on George W. Bush. And they were railing against him before then. And now that we have Trump as president, he's the greatest guy ever. Look, he's got, he makes some beautiful paintings. He's just great. Let's just have him on our show. Ellen's just cuddling up next to him. Everybody loves George W. Bush now. And again, it goes back to the system. It goes back to the system. They're all part of it. They want you to accept it. I've had people tell me that who hated the Bushes were upset that Jeb Bush didn't become president, and were upset at what Trump did to Jeb Bush. Now, look, I'm not thrilled that Donald Trump's the president, again, for the bazillionth time. I don't trust this man. But what he did to Jeb Bush was hilarious, and it needed to happen because he was a fool. He was George H.W.'s son. There is no telling how far and deep those crimes go. That's not to put it on his children. W is a little bit different. But Jeb, you know, who knows? But I'm glad he didn't become president. I'm glad Trump made a fool of him on national TV, because that's what that family is, the end. That's where I stand on that, you know, and I don't know, guys. We're in such a deep spot right now. I don't think there's any coming out of it from any direction. People want to lean on the Republicans. They want to lean on the Democrats, or they want to lean on Trump or CNN or the Russians, or whatever it is. People have to get over this garbage. It's so much propaganda, whether it's from Trump, which is a ton of propaganda and tons of lies, or whether it's from the establishment saying it's Russia, it's this, it's that. Open your eyes and realize this is all a huge joke, and you're the butt of it. You're the butt of it.
Oh, but Trump's in war with the deep state, didn't you know?
He's something.
He's going to wreck the new world order, didn't you know?
Well, that's what Alex Jones will have you believe.
Right, yeah, of course. With the strength and the full force of the U.S. military and the police state, Donald Trump is going to rise up and crush the new world order. You know, I don't doubt that there are elements of the so-called deep state that he's obviously having an issue with.
Listen, there's no question that he is. No question. Just look at the Michael Flynn situation. I believe that. There's no doubt that there's a beef with Trump and segments of the government. Go ahead, Kevin. I cut you off. You there, Kevin?
Yeah, my bad, brother. Yeah, it's like a bickering fight, though. It's like a fight between a mother and a son or a father and a son. Trump has inherited all of these tools, as we see routinely, from the previous presidency that he's now going to use to strengthen whatever game plan he plans to run. My fear, and I'm sure you guys probably are sympathetic to this as well, is that all the Americans that currently hear this, you know, are going to let it go one ear, you know, through one ear and out the other. Even the mainstream media, which is not a big surprise, has not even, you know, really even paid attention, admitted that anything happened to do with Vault 7 has shown up. And yet, you know, the most you see about this stuff, and of course, we've still got plenty of good juicy info to delve into once it gets dropped. But in the meantime, how many people are really going to care? I think it's really going to just make people more pacified, more aware, and say, hey, you know, why does it bother me? I'm sure, you know, the average American just has too much of a short, a care and a mindset to be concerned with this stuff beyond, you know, a day or two. I hope that it lasts, but the facade is going to, it's going to start eroding quickly, I believe.
Well, I will say this. I was at my parents' house last evening, and my dad watches Fox News. That's not my cup of tea, but I have to say, in their credit, they were talking about the leaks. Now, when I have on CNN here in my house, they haven't talked about them. And when they mentioned it, it's been so brief, and this is a joke, and it's basically like it's coming straight out of the CIA's mouth. And I am definitely not going to defend Fox News in any way, shape, or form, because we all know what that is and what the lies that they've perpetrated throughout the years. But the fact that they're addressing it, at least, I mean, that's something that they're talking about. This is the biggest, like, this is way bigger than what Snowden came out with. Way bigger than what Snowden came out with. We talked about it on Tuesday, Shannon, that Snowden's was just, this is the systems they have in place, and this latest leak is, this is how they do it. This is how it's going down. These are the blueprints.
In fact, if you want to do it, here's the blueprints, and you can do it yourself.
And they're doing it.
That right there is the most fascinating part about this to me, because that's going to spur a renewed interest in online security, which these days really nobody gives a flying flip about. If you think about it, and think about the early days of the internet versus, you know, how people use the internet now. The average American, I'm not saying there's a lot of, you know, very informed individuals out there that know how to, you know, lock their computer down using VPNs and so on and so forth. But the average American, they really could care less. And they're so wide open for a potential, I mean, system-wide hacking, it's not even funny. John McAfee is laughing his ass off right now.
Oh, he's actually...
He spoke about that very thing on the show.
He spoke about it many times. He spoke about it in interviews that weren't on this show. He spoke about it on this show. And again, oh yeah, John McAfee's crazy. John McAfee is the one person that's been right this entire time.
The only person that is really zeroed in on this one particular subject. I mean, he spent his whole life. He is the, you know, as far as I'm concerned, about, you know, online and not necessarily just online, but just, you know, the computer and digital security as a whole. I mean, he's, you know, he's the godfather.
Well, he is. And people need to wake up and realize that they've been taken for a ride. And the people telling them that they're safe are the people that want to hack in and pry into your personal business.
Now, you mean to tell me that the thieves are trying to encourage us that we're safe, that we don't need to lock it down any further? That's fine.
Yeah, who would have thought? Snowden, I'm curious to see, will there be an actual whistleblower that shows his face on this? I don't think we're going to see it right now, especially with WikiLeaks and Julian coming out and saying that we're at 1%. I mean, Snowden let it play out for a few days and leak after leak after leak for a few days before.
And you know, so Snowden was so far away from the United States at that point when he released it. So I think the precedent has been set for any future whistleblower to remain as quiet and anonymous as possible.
Yeah.
We'll start to see that from here on out. And that, again, going back to the blueprints on how this hacking has been done by the CIA. That information was important to verify that not only is this true information that I've given you, but here's how you do it. You do it, and then you tell me if it works or not.
What would be
very, very interesting.
What would be really funny about this, while this latest leak does appear that it came from inside the agency, we do know that it had spread so much that truthfully it could have come from anywhere. And what would be very ironic and funny in kind of a sadistic way is, because I don't believe any of the previous leaks at all, period, came from Russia. There's no evidence to suggest that at all. And I know what you hear on TV, and I know your liberal bias, and, oh, I'm a pseudo-intellectual. I know so much it was Russia. That's garbage. It would be quite ironic as if this leak did come from Russia, because it was so out there. This information, I don't think, was just contained to a few people. I think it had the arrogance, you know, that they were in complete control of the cyber community. While you did have people like Snowden and McAfee, and even Julian Assange out there telling everybody what was going on, who was paying attention? I think to a certain degree, there were people paying attention to what was coming out in WikiLeaks. I think, you know, on March 25th now.
I think for different reasons, too, because if you'll remember exactly when the WikiLeaks was, that last dump was released, that had everything to do with the election.
Well, it certainly did, and it was every day for like 30 days, and it was very political. It wasn't about the ins and outs. Snowden's was about, this is what they're doing to you, this is the ins and outs of things, and it was more for the benefit of the people, whereas the Podesta emails were just more about, hey, this is who you're about to elect as president, or so who they thought they were going to elect as president, and this is what she's up to, and this is what she does, and this is how vile these people are. I don't know if you've noticed on Twitter, Shannon, but very fascinating. One of the Rothschilds, and I hate to bring it up because I know that's such a conspiratorial...
You're talking about Nick's family, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, I just want to make sure we're talking about the same people.
I know that it's such a conspiratorial name, but in all reality, that family does control a lot of money, and I want to see if I can...
Controls a lot of money is a very, very mild way of putting it.
I want to see if I can find this exact tweet here. But basically, they are very upset with John Podesta. And I can understand that because it was his emails that got hacked, and kind of, to in their mind, burnt that down for all of them. I think they still probably live in this false reality that she was going to be elected, even though that was never, ever, ever going to happen. But because they're on the other side of it, they're of course spewing the Russian propaganda, and they're of course spewing this, that, and the other politically. They know what really happened, and so I think they're putting a lot of the blame on John Podesta because of how careless he was of being hacked. And if you look even at his emails that came out, he definitely set himself up for that. And I don't think it was a genius that got into his stuff, but somebody did, and they turned it over to Julian Assange. Now, what we're seeing with the CIA stuff, maybe it was somebody on the inside, but again, we've learned that the arrogance, this was out in the open. All these hacking tools, they were just kind of passing around and bragging about. And today with Julian's press conference, they're going to release this to tech companies now. The playing field is even. One thing people do need to realize, there's no privacy. When you have electronics in your home that are in any way, shape, or form connected to a camera, a microphone, or the internet, whether it's your cable TV, your telephone, whatever it may be, you do not have privacy. And you have it for a long time. This didn't start 2 days ago. This has been going on for a long, long, long time.
And it shows no signs of stopping. There, you know, again, that goes back to the apathy of your everyday American. They, you know, all of this information, all of that crazy email talk, I just don't want to hear no more about it. Let's turn on the TV and watch something mindless and mundane. And there's that's just where we're at right now.
And there's so much of it. You know, I mean, for whatever reason, if somebody takes an interest into this stuff out of concern, out of fear, out of joy, you know, it kind of morphs different stages, or it tends to for some people. There's just so much out there, you know, and it can be, not only is it time consuming, all this stuff getting into it, but you know, it can really make you work your mind a little more than you might have planned for. So I don't blame people for wanting to be closed off. But certainly the case needs to be made greater that now we've got to continue to fight, and more people have got to be made aware. This is all a numbers game, and I think you're right that this is not going to stop. It's only going to morph into different ways. And now that you've got God Emperor Trump now in power, I use that term loosely, of course, tongue-in-cheek, you know, he's now inherited this stuff. So if you know, you want conservatives out there, you know, the alt-right libertarians, so-called libertarians that are you know, holding this man up so high, you want him to be strong and authoritative and implement this stuff. Well, he just took over the world's largest intelligence service, and look what we're going to get. It's
well,
going to be more of the same.
And this is my personal opinion, and I would love to hear your rebuttal, either one of y'all. I don't think the CIA and Donald Trump are friends at all.
Really?
I do not, no.
Get out of town.
I don't.
Did you happen to hear the speech that he gave when he gave his talk at the CIA, where he offered to lay down the arms?
I understand that, but you do realize that Donald Trump is a professional liar, and he's a fantastic politician, which a politician by definition is a really fancy liar, basically. I don't care where he gave his speech and what he did. I do think that there is inner turmoil and inner conflict between Donald Trump and the CIA. I do.
Oh, no. I certainly agree with that. And my point with that was that he attempted to go there and bury the hatchet and do the presidential thing. But I don't know if you guys caught the last part of his speech, but he made a reference to removing columns. I listened to it two or three times. And he's talking about a crowd that's there and about a need to remove some architecture in the building. But if you know this game and you listen, you know Donald Trump's words, you know the CIA, and you know this game, you know that you're arguing is being played, this battle between the two, it became clear, at least to me, that he was saying he's going to get rid of the columns, that he does not like columns. And to me, what was a blatant reference to a fifth column, you know, and he basically told him. So I would agree.
Ding, 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 ding.
I would agree. Well,
let me tell you something. As crazy as it sounds, and this is purely from my gut, this is just a theory. This is a literal theory I'm throwing out there. I wouldn't be surprised if the whistleblower and the person that gave Julian Assange all this information on the CIA was Donald Trump himself. Because when was it released? Why didn't they release this before now?
Can you imagine?
That wouldn't shock me.
Oh, my gosh. That would. But at the same time, even though it may not shock you, that would be truly unprecedented.
Earth-shattering, man. Can you imagine?
Oh, it certainly would be. And look, this is what I think we're dealing with. I don't know what we're dealing with, but I think when it comes to the intelligence services in this country, Donald Trump does not see eye to eye with them at all. Donald Trump has his own vision of this crazy, stupid stuff because he's a 70-year-old man that believes the stuff he believes. It's the same with Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions and I probably don't see eye to eye on most anything. And this is from somebody that's from Alabama that's known about Jeff Sessions longer than the majority of this country's known about him, much, much longer. With that being said, because of that perspective that I have of Jeff Sessions, I believe personally that he believes most of the stuff that he says. That's how people, and Shannon and Kevin both, you'll attest to this. That's how there's a lot of people from Alabama, they believe that stuff. Especially when you talk about the drug war and all that, they believe it's the right thing to do. They're of a certain age. They're of a certain generation. I do believe that a lot of lobbyists probably own Jeff Sessions, but I think they own him because they found the guy that believes their objective. And they can talk him into it because that's his moral set, basically. And that's what I think of Trump. He's a 70-year-old man and he believes the stuff that he believes. But at the same time, I don't think he's lined up with the establishment. I don't. When it comes to the war and that kind of thing, I think he has people in his ear saying, let's just bomb him, bomb him, bomb him. And I think he'll go along with it because he thinks he's being a man and he's standing up to him. And there's no mercy. Well, they shouldn't have done the wrong thing to begin with. Let's just kill them all. But in their mind, I think they think they're doing the right thing, even though it is the wrong thing. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from.
But I totally believe that about Jeff Sessions. And I, there's, you know, that's the person of Trump's cabinet of anybody who I trust the least and like the least, only because of the personal experience of him being in Alabama all these years. But at the same time, I think he believes most of that. I don't think it's this orchestrated scheme. I think he believes it.
Which is why I actually trust him. I dislike him just, you know, being from Alabama as well. I dislike him also. My grandmother's a big fan of his. We've gone round and round about a number of issues. My grandmother being somebody that I normally argue the conservative versus the more libertarianish, you know, more free path, little differentiation with a good bit. But yes, Sessions, I actually trust him to do what he's going to say. I agree with his policies, but unlike Donald Trump, I think, like you say, he believes what he believes. He's going to do what he believes. And so I think that makes him somewhat predictable. Unlike Donald Trump, who we've seen position after position change over the last, what, just 10 years, the last 5 years, shoot, the last year, the last 6 months. So to me, Trump is still the wild card and is open to doing anything that Trump feels like. But Sessions, I think, is going to be the hard nose. And I wonder what degree Trump is really going to influence Sessions, or is he going to play the boss figure and just sit back and let Sessions do what Sessions is going to do?
Well, to me, and especially when you get in the hole, and I guess the big one, especially with Jeff Sessions being the attorney general, is the whole drug war debate. When you have John Kelly, who's now the head of the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, talking about how he wants that to kind of, you know, dissipate and go away because he's seen the repercussions of it and he doesn't think it'll work. And you have Sessions wanting to ramp it up. Where are we going to go with that? But at the same time, we're seeing that all over the board. I mean, the biggest one, we started the show off talking about the whole healthcare thing, and you've got Trump tweeting out personally directly to Rand Paul because of the grandstanding Rand has done, and rightly so, he should have. And, hey, in fairness, I had my first story at the top of Drudge Report because of Rand Paul complaining about health care. So, you know, it's a
period. You couldn't go a whole entire hour without bringing that up.
I didn't bring it up on Tuesday.
No, I'm teasing. That was really cool, that, man. Kudos for that one.
But the point is that Rand has really gone out there. And the only reason it did is because it wasn't anything I wrote. It was just a bunch of tweets from Rand Paul carrying around a stupid coffee machine, basically, making a scene out of everything. And I'm glad he did it. But Trump's tweeting out, this is going to work. This is going to be great. This healthcare, you know how he is. It's going to be wonderful, everybody. That's the thing. What does he believe and what doesn't he believe? Because with his foreign policy, we haven't seen him trying to not invade, not try to make things worse at all. It's like you said, Kevin, he is definitely the wild card. And I don't know where we're going to go with it. I know this much. The Republican Party, as we knew it, and the Democratic Party, as we know it, are dead. Yeah. The Democratic Party more so because they don't have anybody really in power anywhere, and they're just kind of screaming into the wind. The Republicans have Paul Ryan, and he's a moron. So, you know, I like to see how this plays out and where it goes, but these parties have to dissolve before we can move on. And we're getting closer to that day. And I think that's the big thing here. I know there's a lot of listeners that feel like we need total anarchism. And you know, fair enough. I don't trust people for that one, just like I don't trust people for the government. Like, I don't trust people for anything. I just want to be left alone.
I think most of us...
That sounded pretty much like anarchism right there. You just want to be left alone. That's most of the anarchists that I know. That's kind of all they really want anyways.
I won't subscribe to their...
But until that day, you know, this big state stuff has got to be smashed. Or we're all going to die. You know, they're going to kill us somehow, or we're going to be killed in the midst of it.
But legitimately, the biggest problem, I think we can all... The one thing everybody should be able to agree on at this point, and you're not going to get this with a lot of liberals, and even Republicans inside big government Republicans, but it is the federal government. That's the biggest problem that we see. And somebody like Jeb Sessions, for example... Oh, the federal government's terrible. We need states' rights. That's yada, yada, yada. But when it comes to the drug war, nope, federal government. Let's step in right now. You can't play that game. You either got to be all in or you're not in at all. And look, you can't police morals. It's not going to happen. Especially the right, where... A lot of the right proclaims to be Christians, and I'm not saying they're not, because I'm not God and I'm not their judge and I'm not the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you this, they can't tell nobody what to do, and they got to get over it. They got to grow up and accept it.
Well, a lot of these guys are what I would compare to, what's his name, Andrews Breivik, and I'm sure I butchered that shooter, the guy that shot up everybody, where was it at? Oh, it was like 2 years ago. He claimed that he was supposed to be a Christian, but he referred to himself as a cultural Christian. So he pretended to carry the band,
and the rhetoric, of course, sounds Christian light, supposedly. But yeah, they pitifully hold up the ideals, but they want to make sure that you supposedly follow. And damn it, it's not very Christian to come across the border without asking the government first. So make sure to keep all those brown people and Asian people and everybody else out of the borders, because damn it, this is a Christian nation and we've got to preserve it.
Yeah, I mean, what's that about? You're gonna try to police people and look, when it comes to violent people, that's fine. I understand that. I'm with you on that. I accept it. But they skew the numbers, they skew the statistics, and they want people to think that people from outside of the country are doing all of these things, and none of that's true. None of that's true. When you look at it statistically, it's all a bunch of garbage, and it's all based in fear. This is the word that should define this show, is fear. Why? For many reasons. Because fear sells. And if you look, fear sells. So listen to this show. Fear, fear, fear. Be scared. Because that's the way the world works. But at the same time, that's how they sell this crap. And that's what we're trying to expose here, I think. At least me personally. Is trying to expose what they're trying to make you scared of. They want you to be scared. They want you to be scared of your neighbor. They want you to be scared of the person on the other side of a border. They want you to be scared of somebody because of their dialect, because of their language, because of the hue of their skin. Guess what? We're all human beings. That's it. Period. Get over it. Grow up. Grow up! Stop being terrified of these stupid things, because you're a weak-minded, weak-willed person to think that these things are going to harm you. You believe this garbage you see on TV. You believe the words you hear from your elected officials, your representatives. They're not representing you. Do you really believe they're representing you? When was the last time you felt represented? Now, of course, there's a handful of people that try to do the right thing, but it's few and far between. And when it comes to actual policy, we haven't seen it. Now, people think that somebody like Donald Trump is that person, but look again at what's happening. Look at what's going on in the Middle East right now. Well, we need a strong military. We need a strong military. Do you realize that there's 13 countries? I believe that number's right. 13 countries below the United States combined that are spending what the United States is spending. Just this week, the House passed $578 billion military spending bill. And the Senate will pass it in December, $611 billion. Do you understand? We're broke. We're squabbling over the $20 trillion debt. How can somebody that, like Sean Hannity and people that listen to Sean Hannity, they go on and on, $20 trillion in debt, build the military, $20 trillion in debt, build the military, $20 trillion in debt, build the military. Do you understand how psychotically stupid you sound? To be on both ends of that one? We're broke. There's nothing left.
And they want to call it defense. Defense. That's how they sell it. Not offense, like it should be called. Not warmongering and murdering, mass murdering. They want to call it defense.
Hey, and here's the thing. That triggers people, because I know that's the cute word for the past year and a half, but that does legitimately trigger people to tell them that their tax dollars are murdering people, which guess what? It has. It does. You can kind of bring people around to that from an older generation when it comes to Vietnam, because enough time has passed for everybody to go, yeah, that wasn't probably the thing to do. And not enough time has passed with this other stuff, and now it's a new enemy, the Muslims. The Muslims are coming to get you. Really? Are they? What Muslims are coming to get you? I haven't seen it.
1.8 billion Muslims in the world, and people think that they should be afraid of Muslims. I have to make this argument repeatedly, and I'm sure this attitude prevails in other parts of the country, but I tend to believe, and maybe it's my bias because, you know, we live in the South, But I know a lot of people, I hear this constant Muslim bashing all the time. And you got to take a second and point out, if that, with as many Muslims that are in this country, if your life was really in fear, if all the things that you thought and believed about Muslims was true, you wouldn't have a head right now. You know, you'd been attacked. Are you safe if you had ever had
And we wouldn't have all these troops overseas in Muslim countries. They'd be here defending us from the Muslims here, correct?
Yeah, you'd think so. It's such a crock, but it goes back to what you were saying, Mr. Gibson. It's all about fear and a campaign of fear, fear, fear. George Bush said, we're not at war with Muslims. We're more war with radical Islam. Well, whatever the case may be, they're really playing in dangerous territory as they try to brand a whole group of people that are so diverse as Muslims are. They're really playing a dangerous game there, and we're going to see it start playing out the more and more this stuff continues.
But here's the – okay. There's crazy people on this planet that call themselves Christians. There's crazy people on this planet that call themselves Muslims. There's crazy people on this planet that call themselves Jews. There's crazy people on this planet that call themselves agnostic. There's crazy people, period. The end. But everybody has to have a label, because if there's a label, it's comforting because you know who the enemy is. And now they're doing it again with Russia. Everybody has to be scared of Russia. Everybody. Hey, have you ever put Russian dressing on a salad before? Guess what? You're anti-American now.
I've definitely had quite a bit of their vodka over the years. That's for damn sure.
Well, that's it. You're off the show because we can't have any of these Russian ties. Did you talk to Putin today? You must.
No, because he still hadn't sent me a check yet.
I mean, it sounds like it. Anybody that's ever had vodka in their life, period, they're clearly an intelligence agency. You know, they're KGB.
Oh, I certainly wasn't intelligent when I was drinking that vodka.
Nope. It came from Russia, undoubtedly. But that's it. They have to pick. Look, because they squashed the whole Bin Laden thing finally, that whole scenario that they had cooked up for a long time. I guess the new Red Menace is the Red Menace themselves. They dusted off the biggest and scariest monster that we've had in the past 100 years, or I say 100, because that's not really true because of Germany, but for the longest period of time, I mean, everybody goes Hitler, 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 which of course he was an evil, terrible person, but that lasted what? In the United States, 4 years, from 41 to 45, that was over with. But for an extended period of time, everybody was terrified of the Russians. Everybody thought the Russians. I remember in the 80s, people were scared of the Russians. Like, that was the bad guy. Watching Rocky, watching WWF, Russians were the bad guy. And I guess they've gotten so lazy, and there's nothing left to be scared of, that they're just going to throw it back there.
Well, I think we'd be mistaken to think that Russia is not a potential adversary. I don't think we need to continue the warmongering. Being raised in the John Birch Society, who were one of the big first anti-communist groups way back in the 50s and 60s, I was raised to believe, too, that Russia was the enemy. So I don't think they're necessarily our friends, certainly not, but they definitely shouldn't be demonized to the point that they are, and especially not used to wage a war on both American citizens, foreigners, you know, the rest of the world, and every other right that entails. It's ridiculous. But like you said, fear, fear, fear.
That's it for us. But I want to throw this out there. Look what happened in Aleppo, and look what's happening in Mosul right now in Iraq. Nobody cares about human rights. They care about the propaganda. For Kevin, for Shannon, Anti-Media Radio, IMS, and Gibson. Anti-Media Radio, out. I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, through the stereo.